Welcome to episode 208 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live on December 11th, 2020. This is a show about Microsoft 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss a topic or recent news and how it relates to you. Today, we continue our conversation from episode 207 about SharePoint syntax as we move on from document understanding into the forms processing component. I'm as good as I'm going to get.
Excellent.
A little tired, but overall, good.
Tired is all just part of the equation. You're finishing up your European tour, though, right?
So I finished up the European tour. That was Monday and Tuesday. And then the APAC tour was Wednesday and Thursday.
Oh, you really did like a world tour.
Yes. The only thing I didn't get in there was an Americas tour.
That's today. That's right now.
And being on the Eastern time zone, it's odd. Like, my European tour is 3 a.m. to like 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. is what most of my European tours have been. And then my APAC tours are like 8 p.m. to 3 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, usually when I need to call my friends in Australia or Korea for customer work, it's like 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. So I can catch them first thing in their morning, which is then actually the next day because we've hopped the dateline and all those kinds of things.
Yes. So last night I went to bed at, well, the last two nights I've gone to bed at like 4 a.m. because we finished up training at like 3 a.m. And then, of course, we need like a debrief call and...
Yeah, all that stuff.
Everybody wants to go to bed, but anyways. So then that gets done at like 3:30 and then by the time I crawl in bed, it's like 4. And then my kids come running into the bedroom at 7 a.m. I think. I don't even know what time they got up this morning. I just woke up and they were like sitting on my feet in bed or fighting and all of that.
Doing what kids do.
Yep. Exactly. That is that.
Yeah. Well, it kept you off the internet for some very important announcements. Disney, you know, we were chatting about this before we hit the big red button, but Disney had their investor day and they have announced all of the new Marvel, Star Wars, and other projects, which is Pixar movies, kind of everything else that's coming up. But if you are a fan of anything in the Disney catalog today, which could be Disney-esque kinds of things, you know, princesses and princes, happy-go-lucky musical stories, that's all there. If you're into the Marvel universe, that is all there with things like WandaVision, Falcon and the Winter Soldier. They had their first clip releases for Loki, Hawkeye. They're doing What If. They also announced a couple casting updates, like they're doing Moon Knight, She-Hulk, Miss Marvel, all those kinds of things. So if you're a comic book fan, could be kind of a fun time to get into Disney Plus. And if you're a Disney person and you've been watching Marvel and you're like, oh, I like Marvel because it's action or as a movie, those kinds of things, you might be questioning and going like, wow, Marvel is kind of like a lot of comic books, which it turns out it actually is. Oh, and they also announced the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special, which is going to be out on Disney Plus in 2022, which, you know, that's probably like the one in there.
So say nothing like building anticipation for the next 2 or 3 or 5 years.
Yeah. I think it's a $8 to $9 billion investment just in production around these things. And I mean, that's just the Marvel side. They did Star Wars as well. So you have a number of things that were kind of in flight with Star Wars universe within Disney. So, you know, you've got the Mandalorian. They had announced that they were doing Kenobi. So that's out there. But now they have a total of 10 Star Wars series that are going to be coming to Disney Plus. So some animated, some live action, and a good mix of both. They've got a Lando series. Bad Batch is going to be an animated series. They're going to do some movies as well. They're going to do Rogue Squadron. If anybody gets a chance, they should go out and Patty Jenkins did this like great clip of her kind of walking up to the back of a car, to a trunk of a car, and explaining what it was like to be a kid and be around fighter pilots, like F-4 pilots. And she's in the trunk, like sitting on the back on the trunk, and she's getting suited up in orange jumpsuit. And then she starts walking away over towards an X-Wing, and then they announce that it's Rogue Squadron. So a very cool kind of thing, right? And very effective for getting the point across that, like, hey, here's somebody who grew up not only in this universe, but also around avionics and all the things that come with that. So that'll be all sorts of fun, I think, as well.
I just want Top Gun Maverick to come out.
That's going to come at some point, but I don't know. That's Disney. I don't remember where that one's coming from.
No, that's not Disney.
What else? My kids were super excited that the Moana is turning into a series. So we're going to be able to sing along with that every single week. They're doing the origin story for Buzz Lightyear called Lightyear. And that's going to be coming out in 2022. And just lots and lots and lots of stuff. I think it was like 50 plus different kind of properties that they were coming out across.
Interesting.
Yes.
Yes. I did completely miss it. So I'm going to have to go catch up on all of that.
Anywho, that's not why we're here to talk about that stuff. We need to finish talking about SharePoint syntax, and specifically the form processing part of SharePoint syntax. So we talked a lot in the last episode, 207, about kind of just what is SharePoint syntax and diving a little bit into the content center and the document understanding service. But we kind of ran out of time to talk about form processing. So you wanted to do that today?
Yeah, let's dive into that. And we kind of implied it at the last episode. This one, there's not as much to talk about when it comes to form processing, at least in my opinion, as there was with the document understanding that we talked about in the last episode. But we'll give it a shot and dive into it.
All right.
There we are. You probably didn't get into cloud engineering to spend hours manually sifting through layers of data or manually creating reports to understand and explain your Azure costs. Neither did the IT pros at ShareGate, which is why they built ShareGate Overcast. ShareGate Overcast is an Azure cost intelligence tool that reduces manually monitoring and helps you make cost-efficient engineering decisions. And it can help you lower your Azure bill. ShareGate Overcast scans your Azure environment daily and analyzes your cost data. It automatically identifies cost issues and gives you the insights you need to fix problems fast. Plus, with personalized cost savings recommendations, you can be sure you're only paying for the resources you need. Best of all, you can get ShareGate Overcast free. Find out more at ShareGate.com/ITPro. That's ShareGate.com/ITPro.
So why do I need form processing when I already have document understanding?
We talked about this last episode. It's in general how you build these models. So think of document understanding as a little bit more of unstructured data. You have documents, you may or may not follow a specific template, but you have specific language that might be in the document, and it may be scattered in various places of the document, and you still want to do some categorization, some extraction, all of that. This is going to, or the document understanding, kind of like we said, it's going to use phrases, it's going to use some AI to try to recognize various language, various structure within the document, and do some extraction and do some categorization that way. Forms processing is, I have a very structured document. I have an exact template. I follow it every time. Certain information or certain data is in the same spot in the document every time. And I want to pull that information out and build a model, not necessarily based on language in the document, but based on the structure of the document.
Yep.
And where certain content is within that defined structured document.
I think I might amend that slightly. You said very structured documents. I would probably say either structured or semi-structured, but not unstructured. So very structured being an invoice that is always 2 pages long or one page, whatever it happens to be. Semi-structured being like maybe back to you that SLA example or like an MSA that we talked about last time, where the first part is always the same and the end part is always the same, but stuff in the middle can be different. So there's varying degrees in there of what the service is going to be able to pull in and out. That's an important thing too, is we're talking about SharePoint syntax form processing, but it's not actually SharePoint syntax that's doing the form processing. It's all Microsoft Power Apps and AI Builder, which is just a whole nother can of worms.
Right. And that's why this one was a little weird. And I actually misspoke on the cost last week too. I was getting the cost of this confused with the cost of the RPA, the UI flow part. So the cost is actually higher than I said. But it is. It's because forms processing, I don't know that I necessarily agree with this even being a part of syntax because nothing...
It is all AI Builder.
Right. Like the only... From what how I understand Forms Builder, and again, I haven't spun it up primarily due to licensing, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But the only thing that I see that's in here that is technically new to this whole forms processing stuff is some of the UI integration with a SharePoint library. Not even necessarily the integration. So everything that they talk about in terms of functionality, you could do already from what I've seen with what was out there for Power Apps and Power Automate and the whole Power Platform and the AI stuff that was there. Now they just tied it into the SharePoint UI.
Yes, because I think when I think about form processing within the context of SharePoint, I'm going to have entity extraction or extraction from that structured or semi-structured document to place that data back into my library. So I'm going to upload my invoice and invoice number is always in the same place, take that out and populate that as a column. And you think about that as strictly like maybe like a SharePoint construct to populate the data inside that list item and kind of feed back into the content type and all that. But you're right, it was Power Apps, right? Like Power Apps had those connectors and could do those things anyway.
Yep. A lot of what we talked about in the last episode with what I was trying to do with document understanding really was better suited for forms processing. And a lot of the examples I gave, but I didn't want to pay for the price. And I was curious, can I do this at that $5 per user per month?
Per user per month, yep.
Right. Especially being a single person company. And we can get into licensing. So because I feel like we're dancing around that topic, we might as well just spit it out and then we can keep talking about functionality. To use forms processing, you have to go buy AI Builder credits. So there is nothing unique to SharePoint syntax. There is nothing different about this from the Power Platform credits, and all the syntax documentation actually points you over to all the Power Platform stuff to go buy these credits, which start with 1 million credits for $500 a month. I think last week I had said 150. I was off by a magnitude of like 3.3.
That's okay.
Yeah. So $500 a month gets you these 1 million credits. And while you can use these for forms processing, one advantage of these credits is they're the Power Platform credits. So all the other stuff that's in Power Platform from that AI perspective, they have like the entity extraction, the key phrase extraction, the category classification, business card reader, all of that technically you could start using because now you have these credits that maybe you bought for SharePoint syntax, but you want to use within the Power Platform for all that other stuff. There is no distinction there when it comes to these credits between syntax and Power Platform, because really it's just SharePoint using the Power Platform. And they made it a little bit easier from the UI perspective and the integration perspective, process these documents. It does still remain true, though, that if you go buy 300 syntax licenses, so you're spending, what, $1,500 a month?
$1,500, yep.
You do get a unit of AI builder credits?
You get 1 million AI builder credits, which equates to one unit.
One unit, which equates to that $500 monthly fee.
Yeah, so if you spend $1,500, you can get $500 worth of stuff.
Yes. So if you're at that, I mean, so it's kind of weird, right? So if you're at what, like the 200 person level, or if you start hitting like 201, 203 people,
yeah,
you might as well just go buy 300 licenses and have 99 extra licenses.
Maybe.
Because it's going to be cheaper than buying 202 licenses and a unit of AI builder.
I don't know how people, like how an organization would rationalize purchasing this stuff. Like it is, like I've heard you explain it to me a couple times and I'm still more confused than when I started. Like there's no rhyme or reason why something is called an AI builder credit. Like why am I allocated 1 million AI builder credits, but then when I go over to the AI builder calculator, nothing is in credits in the calculator. It's all based on units and then a monthly fee that's associated with that. And it's just all kind of like crazy and confusing to me.
Yeah.
You explained it as 1 million credits equates to one unit in the AI builder calculator. What you think?
What I think, based on the fact that I suppose I don't know. I suppose a million credits could be two units. Does it say down here in the AI builder? Like, I feel like I saw that somewhere. And if somebody's listening and that is massively incorrect, let me know. I think I just kind of assumed that because, like you said, it goes in units. And at $500 a unit, I can't imagine Microsoft giving you more than that. I suppose it could be less than that. I suppose one unit could maybe only be 200 credits. I don't know. But and to your point, the way it gets goofy is if you go out to the calculator, because they do have a calculator out here, and because we're talking about forms processing.
So yes, each AI builder add-on unit is a pack of 1 million service credits pooled at the tenant level. You're going to spend $1,500 in licensing for syntax for per user licenses, and that will give you the equivalent of one unit.
One unit at that 300 level.
Yep.
So, but to your point, like we had to go dig that up, because you go to this calculator and you just say, how many forms are you going to process a month?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't give you any correlation to how many units a form takes. So while we were looking at this, I just went through and started typing in numbers.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
There is an inflection point when you flip from one to two units for form processing.
Right.
Outlook add-ins are a great way to improve productivity and save time in the workplace, and Sperry software has all the add-ins you'll ever need. The Save as PDF add-in is a bestseller and is great for project backups, legal discovery, and more. This add-in saves the email and attachments as PDF files. It's easy to download, easy to install, and Sperry software's unparalleled customer service is always ready to help. Download a free trial at sperrysoftware.com, SperrySoftware.com, and see for yourself how great Save as PDF is. Listeners can get 20% off their order today by entering the code CLOUDIT. That's CLOUDIT, CLOUDIT, all one word at checkout. Sperry Software, work in email, not on email.
So that inflection point that I discovered was 1,601 forms flips you over to your second unit.
So yeah, so 1,600.
1,600 is that max.
Yeah, one unit. If you're doing invoicing, right, you're doing invoice intake, you can process 1,600 invoices inside of a single unit. And that would consume your million credits, is effectively how it's going.
So one form is 625 credits. I don't know why they couldn't
make that a little bit easier.
And I'm guessing the reason they did that is like if you go flip over to entity extraction, I'm going to guess that if I'm doing 1600 entity extractions, let's see if I jump that one to 1601. See, so I can do a lot more entity extractions.
Yes.
I don't know that I could do a million entity extractions calculated. So you can definitely do a lot more of those. I'm up to 10,000 entity extractions. It's still within one unit. So I'm guessing that was partly why they did that, is because these different, leveraging these different models like key phrase extraction, entity extraction, category classification, all take different amounts of processing power. Because really that's what you're paying for with these AI credits, right? Is you're paying for that extra compute that's going to be required to do all the modeling and processing of these documents.
Turns out that's a thing.
It does. And it turns out that compute for that is rather expensive at times. But I'm guessing that's why they still have the units and they don't break it down to you're buying 1,600 forms or you're paying for it on a form-by-form basis, is people may want to mix and match too, where they're doing 1,000 forms and they're doing 10,000 entity extractions and they're doing so many text strings that they want to do language detection on. And I had to sneeze. I'm allergic to licensing. And they had to come up with something that wasn't at that model level. It had to be some type of smaller unit that they could break up. But it definitely adds to a lot of confusion around what can I actually do for what cost.
Once you're kind of down that path and you figure out whether you're doing document understanding or forms processing or a combination of both, maybe in like two different libraries supporting like the same business process, a lot of the setup after that is the same as what we talked about last time, right? You're going to either have a content type or you're going to create a new content type from a library. And rather than going in and doing your, maybe your like phrasing or patterns for extraction, you're going to go into AI Builder, which has been slickly integrated with SharePoint, and do the same kinds of things. You'll upload a test form, like we talked about last time. You'll select your form fields in there. So kind of go through and hotspot everything that needs to come out, do your confirmation, and then you're going to go ahead and train and test and publish. And then you're kind of done. So the workflow stays effectively the same. It's that level of granularity and kind of document type that might drive which one you use.
No.
All right, come on.
So sort of. The workflow is the same. Where you do it is different. So remember document understanding, you have that content center where you define everything?
Yeah, you're doing all this through AI Builder, which is...
Right. So instead of going to like content center to define it all, you're going to the document library you want this on. And actually just clicking on the automate where you would have your Power Automate where you could launch flows and all that.
Yeah, even your Cloud Flows?
Yeah, Cloud Flows.
Sorry. I digress. That'll be next time.
Yeah, that can be next one where you build Cloud Flows in Power Automate. And you actually click on AI Builder, create a form processing model, and then it just takes you over to the Power Platform. And you go build all of this actually in... Essentially, you build it all in Power Apps. It takes you over to the Power Apps portal. You build it all. And then, like you said, the training, all of that's the same. And then you publish it, but then it just publishes that model back to that library where you built it. What I don't see in here is how easy this is to reuse that same model and reassociate it with different document libraries. Because your AI model is now over in Power Platform. It's not sitting in that content center, so you don't have the same interface to kind of select where you're going to publish this model to, because instead of managing it in that SharePoint content center site, you're managing it all in Power Apps now.
They conveniently skirt around that in the documentation. There is no article for how to reuse an existing form processing model, only create a form processing model, which always starts as net new.
Right. And I think that reuse is important. So for me, I create a new SharePoint site in a new team in Microsoft Teams for every client that I have. And within that client site is where my invoices are. I don't have one central site for invoices. I have invoices directly in every client site. As those clients increase and I start getting 100, 200, 300 sites, or if I'm doing some type of templatizing provisioning process of these client sites, if I want to do this entity extraction, forms processing on set forms that I have for every client, the document understanding, it's like, well, how do I make this a part of that provisioning process and leverage these models across, I mean, other Companies that are way bigger than me might have thousands of sites they want to use the same models on. And I don't see any of that in the documentation.
I don't recall seeing any of that. I'd have to go back into AI Builder and check it out. But like the one or two times that I hopped in there, I never even thought about it, like having to reuse it across all that stuff.
Yeah, that's essentially it. So there's, going back to that whole syntax thing, there's nothing really, there's not a ton new when it comes to forms processing, especially if you're familiar with AI Builder, other than some of those like menu items in SharePoint and just some ease in terms of using those AI Builder models. Because originally, if you were familiar with Power Platform and you wanted to like tie these AI Builder models into Power Automate, Cloudflow, or back then Flow, when it was also still named Flows, you actually had to create like a solution. You couldn't just create a standalone flow within Power Automate. You had to create it as a part of a solution. And then you got the connectors for AI Builder and you had to deal with all this. So they have definitely simplified how you can associate these form processing models to a SharePoint document library as a part of the whole syntax thing. What is interesting here is, because this is all Power Apps and Power Automate, technically with the triggers that you have in Power Automate, if you just go out and buy the credits, I don't know that you would have to license syntax to do this. You could accomplish all of the same things, albeit it might be a little bit more work to set up without actually purchasing syntax licenses.
Yes, I believe you could.
Do you feel overwhelmed by trying to manage your Office 365 environment? Are you facing unexpected issues that disrupt your company's productivity? IntelliJink is here to help. Much like you take your car to the mechanic that has specialized knowledge on how to best keep your car running, IntelliJink helps you with your Microsoft Cloud environment because that's their expertise. IntelliJink keeps up with the latest updates in the Microsoft Cloud to help keep your business running smoothly and ahead of the curve. Whether you are a small organization with just a few users up to an organization of several thousand employees, they want to partner with you to implement and administer your Microsoft Cloud technology. Visit them at IntelliJink.com/podcast. That's IntelliJink.com/podcast for more information or to schedule a 30-minute call to get started with them today. Remember, IntelliJink focuses on the Microsoft Cloud so you can focus on your business.
There are a couple of other differences between the two services as well, like I think which kind of calls out some more of that delineation between document understanding and forms processing. Forms processing is not available in all regions, but document understanding is, because you're relying on two different underlying services to help you out there. Another thing to think about is potentially capacity. So document understanding does not have any capacity restrictions, but form processing is provisioned against the default common data service environment over inside of Power Apps, Power Platform.
Power Platform, although it is not CDS anymore.
Well, it is in the documentation for syntax, so...
We'll go with that. Okay.
I'll
let that slide.
I don't know what to call this stuff anymore. Like,
it's Dataverse now.
I just wish they could pick names for things. Like, come on.
They do pick names. They just pick a different name every few months.
Horrible. There are potential capacity things there too, because you do have to, like you said, run those documents through kind of Power Platform and get everything up and running there. Interestingly enough, in this other buried crazy page that I found, it specifically calls out AI Builder credits as 1 million credits equal to 2,000 pages, but consumption is about 2,000 invoices. So they're assuming that, I think like a better way to think about it is pages rather than documents, because the number of pages that it has to process might consume credits along the way.
Got it. So on their calculator, they're assuming a form must have... Because on this one, it says a company, so their example under forms processing on the calculator would disagree and says that a company receives and processes 2,000 invoices per month. to automate its invoicing processing using AI Builder Forms processing, the company needs to purchase 2 units.
Well,
so the calculator says 2 units for 2,000 invoices. Your documentation says 1 unit for 1,000 invoices. Or 2,000.
It actually says 1 million credits is equal to 2 units. So AI Builder credits, 1 million credits is equal to 2,000 pages. Consumption is about 2,000 invoices, which is equal to 2 units. So I don't know like how they're getting to all these things. And I think this is one of those just disconnects between the various universes. Like at some point, maybe it flipped over in Power Automate and this documentation hasn't caught up, or vice versa, like whatever it happens to be. Anyway, tread carefully.
Yeah. So we have 2 documents that disagree with each other on how many units you get. Or how many credits you get in a unit.
I would actually probably trust the AI Builder calculator a little bit more than what could potentially be a stale document.
Well, but the AI Builder doesn't tell you how many credits it gives you. It just tells you how many forms you get. Going back to where you get 1 million credits with 300 syntax licenses, that doesn't clear up how many units you're actually getting since everything else is unit-based.
So here's another one for you. Back to reuse. For forms processing, it is specifically called out as restricted to a single library, where document understanding is called out as can be applied to multiple libraries. So when it comes to reuse, you might actually have to go into Power Automate, or you would have to go create a flow and then hope that model shows up in the list of flows and do it manually against each additional library that you had out there. So what Microsoft is telling you is you are doing your business process wrong, Ben. You need to change it.
I need to go put all of my invoices in one library.
It's not them. It's you. You're doing it wrong.
Or could I go create a looping flow or some loop to trigger a single flow? Well, no, because I don't know. I think I'd mess with my connectors. If I could create a single flow that loops through all my sites and triggers a AI flow to process all of those. And then it just runs nonstop every day because it takes so long to chunk through everything in an environment.
Yeah.
Lots of things to be aware of. We said forms processing would be quick, but we very easily covered our entire episode.
Turns out.
Discussing forms processing. Most of that being on how you license it. Imagine that. Licensing was confusing.
Never happens.
No. Always simple. One of the trainings I did this week, like the students were like, we don't want to talk about licensing. It's like, but your customers are always going
to
ask.
It's one of those crazy things, right? You have to talk about cost for everything. And usually you don't start your value prop of the cloud with cost. But all of a sudden it leads to the most awkward conversations at the end.
Right. You can do all of this stuff. So how much is that going to cost me? Oh, you're just going to have to license $500 a month for this and $90 a month per user. And yeah. So with that, I think that about wraps up forms processing. There's not a whole lot else there because, again, a lot of the SharePoint syntax forms processing documentation just refers you over to Power Platform because, end of the day, SharePoint syntax forms processing is AI Builder in the Power Platform.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. If you have one takeaway, that's about it.
All right. Well, we'll wrap this one up then. I might go take a nap or make breakfast. I got up too late to get breakfast this morning. And I will let you go start your work day with all of your coworkers on the West Coast that are just starting to... Well, they're probably not yet.
Not yet. I'll go talk to my European friends for a while.
Perfect. Sounds good. Well, enjoy your weekend, Scott. Enjoy the cooler weather here in Florida. It's actually nice to be outside now.
Yes, sir. All right, man.
And we will talk to you next week.
Thanks, Ben.
Yep. Thanks, Scott.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.